At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to a weekly podcast made by Miami Dolphin fans for Miami Dolphin fans. Your source for entertaining Dolphin news, insight, and general conversation. Here's your host, Michael Fink.
And it's Monday, and I'm here with Louis Ragone.
Hey, Dolphins, another victory Monday. Happy Monday.
You got to throw five happies in there.
Yeah, I know. Well, five straight wins.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Happy for each win, Mike.
Well, you know, I predicted them to lose this past game because I thought the Chargers offense was going to move the ball on our defense. You know, with the receivers that they have and the tight end that they have, I really didn't see any way we were going to be able to cover everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wrong.
Right.
I was flat wrong because they did. They shut them down.
Yes, they did. They shut them down. The corners, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, as we look at the free agent signings and, you know, how we went about the draft, you're seeing results from that. I mean, picking up Jones as a free agent right now, I mean, you've got your two corners locking down on really good receiver tandems week in and week out. I mean, you think about the tandems we've gone up against this year.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Rams and you have Woods and you have Coop and then you had Metcalf and who's the other fella over there? Lockett. And then this past week and then last week. I mean, you know, it's these guys that they're going up against. I mean, these are some of the better wide receiver tandems in the NFL week in and week out. And I'll tell you what, you know, week in and week out, these guys are getting the job done. And I can't say enough about it. I mean, it frees up other players, Mike. You know, when you can lock your two guys down on the outside on the other two teams' wide receivers and not worry
sure,
about them.
It makes everybody else's job easier.
It makes everybody else's job easier.
Especially the defensive coordinator, because he can do just about anything from there.
Mike, you look at the numbers yesterday, right, in regard to the amount of times that their wide receivers were targeted. And this is just targeted. You know, you're looking at Keenan Allen 7 times. 3 catches for 39 yards. He did get a touchdown late. That was his biggest play of the game. Mike Williams, 5 targets, 2 receptions, 38 yards. I mean, you're talking about really good receivers, yep. And they just absolutely shut them down. You know, I'll tell you, you know, the more you watch, the more you understand the philosophy and the logic behind what they did. You know, let's throw Needham in the mix, right? A guy that was, he's a rookie free agent last year, got a lot of playing time right off the bat. You know, what does he do, Mike? He makes, you know, a big play. You know, he has a big sack. Later on, he made a big play as well, you know, in regard to special teams, I believe it was. Or no, he knocked a pass down on their second possession. He made a great play on Keenan Allen. He was covering Allen. And do you remember the play where he kind of like went over his back and smacked it away?
Yep.
It was about 15, 20 yards downfield. Yep. I mean, this is,
for a flag.
Right. Yeah. No, he played it pretty well.
Oh, I know. It was clean.
It was clean. And what I'm getting at is this, is that we understand now what they were doing, you know, in regard to our last draft pick. This past year, there's a lot of depth in that secondary right now. Boy, I'll tell you what, you can't have enough cornerbacks. And it's showing on the field week in and week out in regard to what we're doing defensively.
And hopefully Igbinoghene steps up and becomes part of that rotation and somebody we can count on going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many plays. I mean, you could probably look at something and see how many plays he was on the field this past week.
I don't think it was much. I saw him out there once or twice, but I don't think it was much.
Right. I think we saw more of Needham. And you know, that's the other thing that this team does is, you know, they don't care where you were drafted. I mean, you know, Needham wasn't drafted. And he's playing over our first round pick, basically, is what I was getting at. That's why I had asked you if he had played much at all, because Needham obviously was on the field. I saw a lot more of him yesterday than I did Igby.
You want to know something interesting?
Go ahead.
Just flip to the offensive side of the ball for a second.
Sure.
You know, Flores benched Kindley last week.
Mm-hmm.
He started him yesterday.
Wow.
He had a clean game.
How about that, huh?
So.
Yeah.
You know, the guy knows how to motivate people.
He sure does, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, it's really, really fun to watch because they're not – you know, they're going into practice week in and week out, and whoever deserves playing time is getting the playing time. Whoever's doing their job in practice is on the field on Sunday. And
as it should be.
The logic, right, as it should be. And I don't know if that's been the case in years past. I really don't.
Guys get comfortable and they locked in whether they're producing or not. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that Flores is no nonsense and he's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he gave Kindley another chance, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's good. That's good. So, whatever he learned from the past week is great. Hopefully, he carries it forward.
Exactly. So you know, and speaking of Kindley, Mike, you know, he was taken with one of the picks we got from the Texans. So
yeah, it was a fourth round pick, I believe.
Right. I don't know how that wound up going that way, but when I was looking up Kindley, you know, I saw that he was acquired through the trade with the Texans. So when you think about that trade right now, you know, it's looking pretty good because you basically got two offensive linemen for one and you saved yourself a hell of a lot of money in the process at this point.
Right. And you've still got a couple of picks coming next year.
And exactly. And we still have two more picks next year. So if they hit on those, I mean, what a fantastic trade for us. I mean, Honestly, you know, it's great, great stuff.
Yeah, they got robbed. I mean, they really did. They robbed the Texans. And, they, you know, that coach was – desperate. So,
And the fact that we're going to be, I mean, the Texans lost again. Let's talk about that for one second.
Yeah.
They lost again yesterday. So, it's looking more and more like we may very well have a top 10 pick from them in the first round and the second round. And my goodness, I mean, you can't say enough about having, you know, that luxury going into next year's draft or this year's draft, I should say. So, anyway, Let's get to the game. You know, some of the fun stuff in the game there, huh?
Before we do, I just want to talk about complimentary football.
Okay.
Lewis, when was the last time we saw both a good offense and a good defense together for the Dolphins?
Mm-hmm. And special teams you can throw in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How long has it been?
It's been a good while. Absolutely.
It's been a really good while.
Well, Mike, honestly, I can't remember the time a time of late where we had a really solid unit in general on either side of the football. Mm-hmm.
You probably have to go back to, you know, Madison and Sertan and those guys.
On the defensive side.
On the defense, yep.
On the offensive side, maybe the year
maybe
to some extent. Pennington, you know, when they were when they were running the Wildcat and they were somewhat successful there. You know, I mean, that's it. I mean, and that's over what, a 20-year period. So, yep. I mean, you know, we're not talking about you're absolutely right. We're not talking about anything that's happened of late. I mean, this is really fun to watch.
No, a generation has grown up and not seen it. Let's put it that way.
Yep. Two generations.
They're it's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we're seeing an offense that can make a play. We're seeing a defense that can make a play. And we're seeing special teams that are making plays.
Yes.
Yesterday, it was the punt block that gave the Dolphins a first and goal at the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, you had Howard's interception and return that set up Miami at the Chargers 32. Mm-hmm. Against Arizona, Shaq Lawson had that fumble return for a touchdown after Agba strip-sacked the quarterback. Mm-hmm. In the Rams game, there was Andrew Van Ginkle's fumble return for a touchdown, again caused by Agba.
Right.
You also had Jakeem Grant's punt return for a touchdown and the strip sack by Lawson that Van Noy recovered and returned to the one-yard line. That's five touchdowns in the last three games, pretty much produced by defense and special teams.
Outstanding.
That's complimentary football.
Absolutely. And it's always something that as we watched games together or, you know, we talk on the phone as we're watching the games in separate areas.
That's what other teams do.
Yeah. We say, God dang it. Why can't we make plays like this? You know, we have them go against us, but why can we not come up with plays? And let's just think about the names you just mentioned. Okay. You talked about Needham. Okay. Uh-huh. The sack. This is on the right. First series of the game. Needham the sack, Van Ginkle. What round was he drafted in, Mike? Third, fourth? I don't remember at this point. Fifth?
He was a later round pick, yeah. Probably right. Fourth or fifth.
Okay. And then you have Ahmed, who scores the touchdown for us. The free agent rookie, right? Yeah. Wasn't drafted. These are the guys that were productive right at the start of the game. These weren't first round picks.
That's right.
They weren't big free agent signings. These guys are part of a football team, as you mentioned, complementary. And all of those names that we just talked about are guys that are being productive. And they're, you know, again, they're not big signings, not big draft picks.
Well, Lawson and Van Noy were all free agents, but they weren't the type of free agents that we had been signing in years past. You know, the top dollar guys like Sue and LRB and those type of guys.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't necessarily I'm talking about on our first possession, the guys that produce
gotcha.
Now. Those guys as well were basically under the radar signings, and Agba's becoming – I mean, right now you'd have to – you know, you have to talk about him being in the Pro Bowl. I mean, he's been one of the most productive defensive ends in the NFL up to this point. So, you know, the fact that you got him at the numbers that you got him at was just a fantastic signing, and Lawson's done a solid job. But, again, Mike, you know, we can go on and on and on about the guys on this football team. I mean, you think about Smite, the tight end, and you think about Sheehan, the other tight end, and what they've been doing week in and week out. They've all come up with productive plays, and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it's just one guy after another. And you know, I'll tell you, it's really fun to watch, and you're seeing a team. You know, there's a team concept. There's team philosophy. You're not seeing many mistakes over the course of a game. I mean, they're playing clean football week in and week out, and, you know, it all falls back on Flores. I mean, I've been saying this week in and week out, and we can't give this guy enough credit. I mean, when you're going out.
You really can't.
You can't do it. I mean, you're watching this team week in and week out, and, you know, this just doesn't happen. I mean, we've gone through how many coaches to where, you know, we didn't see this type of football. And so quickly, I mean, think about this. They were talking about a 3-4 year rebuild, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is his second year of rebuild. I mean, look at where they are right now. I mean,
it's fair to say they're ahead of schedule.
Mike, I think they're above and beyond ahead of schedule. I mean, you know, the fact that they're, what are they, 6-3 now?
Yep.
I mean, that's unbelievable if you think about it. I mean, it truly is. The fact that, you know, you've got so many different guys on this football team starting and being productive than you did last year. I mean, it's a completely different football team. And
if you just watch them, when they run back to the sidelines and even on the field, they are a tight group. You can mm-hmm. tell that they are really a tight group. They're pulling for each other. They're enjoying mm-hmm. each other. It's a lot of fun to watch.
It sure is. It really, really is. You know, at the play yesterday from a lot of guys. I mean, this Van Ginkle is just coming up with plays.
He plays with his hair on fire.
Game in and game out. You know, he's been outstanding. There's a lot of guys, Mike, you know, that we can talk about. I mean, this kid Ahmed ran the ball very well yesterday.
He did. And he had a little bit of burst to him.
He had a little bit of burst, but you know what, Mike? There were lanes to run through. They were consistently solid yesterday. I felt the offensive line did a really nice job yesterday. I don't know what they graded at.
I don't either. I haven't looked.
Yeah, but, you know, he averaged over 4 yards a carry, Ahmed. He had a long of 18.
Well, I don't think Tua was sacked yesterday, right?
No, he was not sacked yesterday.
I mean, they must have done okay.
They had him one time.
And yeah, Mike, right. And he slipped away.
And he slipped away, and he damn near hit Grant. Oh, that would have been nice.
Well, that would have been just a little more air.
Yeah, he rushed it a little bit. He rushed it, but, you know, I mean, this is a guy that's in his third start of the season. I think as time passes,
he'll make that play
later on. He'll realize that, you know, that he's got a little bit more time.
I heard him say yesterday the game is starting to slow down for him. So that's a good thing. And yes. We all know that takes time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Listen, you know, week in and week out, it's a different challenge. And, you know, playing quarterback in the NFL – we watched Brady just get annihilated by the Saints a Monday ago or whatever night that was on. I can't remember if it was a Monday or a Thursday night game, but, you know, a guy that's been in the NFL all those years, he looked absolutely horrible. So it's not an easy position to play.
No, it's not.
We know that.
A bad game. I mean, you know, guys that are good struggle. So, you know, obviously guys who are new to the league are going to struggle too at times.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we talked about this yesterday as well, the fact that I made the comment to you yesterday, I don't think they've really let this guy loose yet. I think they're playing very
– we agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, and you said, yeah, absolutely. We both agreed on it. We think that we have not seen them just let it go yet. They haven't had to. Exactly. I mean, and you know what? I'm okay with that because – as the season progresses, you know, there's going to come a point where we are going to need that. And hopefully, you know, he's ready at that point because, you know, we talked about this December schedule and it's tough. You know, we've got a couple games on the schedule coming up that, you know, are winnable games now that you're looking at them, Denver and the Jets. And then, it gets a little bit tougher after that. So,
yeah, we got the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Bills, and who's the other one?
The Raiders.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Raiders. Yeah,
Raiders.
I mean, that's there. That's in Las Vegas.
That's in Vegas. You know, going on the road doesn't hurt. I mean, doesn't hurt us up
not
to this
so much
point.
This year. I think I think they're, like I said a show ago, I think the home road records are pretty even.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Talk about Ogbo. He has the second longest current streak in the NFL for sacks. He's tied for the second longest in Dolphins history. He's got 6 games with a sack, and the other 2 players that have done that from Miami are Jason Taylor and Doug Bedders. Now, Taylor actually had 8 sacks in 2002, and he had 6 game streaks in 2000 and 2003. Bedders had a 6-game streak in 83. So he's joining some elite company there.
Yeah, I'd say so. Sure. Absolutely.
Bedders was player of the year, and Taylor's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, definitely elite company.
Good company to be in. And I'll tell you, you know, again, I'll go back. I made the comment that he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. And every single week you see him coming up with plays. And, you know, the plays that you don't see, Mike, I'm sure he's doing a great job otherwise. You know, sometimes, you know, just sealing off the outside or clogging up the middle, you know, doing his job in that aspect, we're not necessarily seeing because you don't. You know, you see the big sacks and the strip sacks and all that type of stuff. But they seem to be doing an extremely good job, especially the last couple of weeks against the run. you know, last week against Arizona, they didn't really have much of a running game. You're not seeing these big chunk plays. Right. I mean, God, do you remember last year? Some of the games the last couple of years where teams were just every single time, you know, they touched the ball, it was 8-9 yards. And, you know, that's when Sua was here too. I mean, you know, they've really done a solid job.
That would have been the year before last then.
Well, yeah, I said over the last couple of years. I mean, not only last year, but the year prior. I mean, you know, you're seeing a whole different type of defense. You're not seeing big chunk runs, you know, of late. They're doing a really, really solid job. So it's not only the big strip sacks. I think, you know, they're doing the job otherwise when you don't really see it happening, you know.
Well, but they, you know, they have 15 games forcing a turnover in a row. And Xavier Howard has something to do with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's, you know, all the question marks about him and the talk about trading him and, you know, and whatnot. I mean,
how could you?
you can't. I mean, you know, we talked about that and we said there's no way. I mean,
it's hard to duplicate that. I don't let that guy go.
You can't let him go, because if you do, you're right back to square one. I mean, we saw this defense struggle when both of our corners were not on the field. When Jones was hurt those 2-3 games, we struggled on the opposite side because they're not going to throw at Howard. They're going to pick on the opposite side of the field. So, you know, again, the philosophy of, you know, having two shutdown corners was a great, you know, just a great game plan by the
organization. Well, it allows them to run that zero coverage and do it successfully. I mean, absolutely. That's a big part of their defense. You know, without either one of those guys, you really don't risk that.
Exactly. And you know what? They're winning battles. They really are. I mean, they're winning battles. I mean, even against Seattle, I know Metcalf had a couple of big plays, but you know, you take that one play away late in the game. You know, he didn't have a great game. Lockett didn't do much at all that whole game. So you have to give these guys credit. I mean, they have the name on their, you know, on their back, right? You know, you look
at
it.
How did Hopkins do yesterday compared to the week before?
Who's that?
How did Hopkins do yesterday compared to the week before?
You know, it's interesting because I don't know. I know he had the big touchdown at the end, but otherwise – I'm not sure what type of game he had, Mike. I didn't look at the numbers for that game, you know, but
– Well, I know he had 40-something yards on the touchdown.
Right. And, you know, that was great and all. But, you know, over the course of the game, I'm not sure what he did. I do know that that game was – boy, I'll tell you, Buffalo seemed to have that game in control, and then Arizona took control. And then, you know, Allen went down just through a great pass. They went ahead, and then you know what happened thereafter.
Murray is magic.
Yeah, he's just unbelievable. I mean, and you know what, Mike? I talk about this all the time too. You know, when we're playing the same teams everybody else is, and you saw what the Rams did yesterday, right? Yep. The Rams they beat Seattle up pretty doggone good yesterday. This is a team that we just beat up pretty good ourselves just a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, we can't be discredited in any way, shape, or form. You got to give this coaching staff and the team all the credit in the world because they're beating some of the best. And
Lewis, I think they are intimidating people.
Yeah, they are. The teams know that. Yeah, it's funny because I said it a couple of weeks ago that teams cannot take us for granted. And I don't think they are anymore. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you just you can't do anything about it. I mean, they shut a good Charger offense down yesterday, as you mentioned.
And I mean, he's the young quarterback, but you could tell the Dolphins were in his head.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, he was – Mike, his numbers yesterday were just not good at all. I mean, you saw his ability, you know, as you watched some of the plays that he made and whatnot. But they basically took them right out of the game, their whole offense. I mean, they struggled. They really did. You know, they got back into the game a little bit. I mean, we really, really should have went up 21-0. It was a 14-point swing on that fumble. I don't know what the hell our center was going through yesterday, but he had a couple of those in the first half.
He said he was having a problem with moisture.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what.
He had one almost slip of a few plays before, the one where Tua threw to Parker.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I hope you watched the game last night because that's where I could understand it, you know, exactly. In a torrential rainstorm. Yeah. I mean, you know.
He had to change his towel or something. I don't know, but figure something out, buddy,
because that's, I mean, Mike, I'll tell you what, that really, really could have been a major, major play in that ball game. I mean, you go against a little bit better team, you know, when we're playing the Ravens or, you know, a team like, you know, Kansas City, for example, you can't make those type of mistakes. And that's very frustrating because all that is execution. It has nothing to do with giving the other team credit, you know, stripping it or whatever.
Right. You're shooting yourself in the foot.
It's at that point in the game where we had an opportunity to go up 21 or at least 17 to nothing. I mean, it was crucial. It put them back in the game. And, you know, it's frustrating to watch. I understand. Listen, we're all human. We make mistakes. But, you know, that happened twice in the first half. And both of them could have been really
damaged. Happened on the Parker play, he should have taken care of it.
Exactly. When it happened the second time, you know, it's.
Then you got to say, hey, you know, that's kind of on the play.
Dry your friggin' hands off before you snap the ball for the love of God. Wipe it on the player that's going to nail you in the head, you know, 2 seconds later. Just reach out and touch him, you know, before the refs see it.
That's a whole nother story. But, you know, I mean, look, mistakes are going to happen, and obviously it happened. It was tough because we were really gaining momentum in that game, and you really felt like it would have been 21-0. You really felt like they weren't going to be stopped.
Oh, after that, I mean, if they got them down 21-0, I mean, I think it was just, you know, over at that point. You know, it was a weird game to me, Mike. I don't know if you got the same feel for it, but to me it seemed like on the offensive side it was just kind of,
we talked
like,
about it yesterday, they were kind of out of sorts, they weren't quite in gear.
Right, they were kind of going through the motions. I mean, you know, there were a few guys that had you know, Grant, I think, had one of the better games. Ahmed had a really solid game. I mean, past that, you know, you didn't see a lot of production out of anybody. I mean, even Tua's numbers, you know, 169 yards. I mean, he didn't need to do much more than that. And you know what? That's what's so great about this is that, you know, would you rather have a game where – And it's hard to compare this, but, you know, Fitzy was throwing for over 300 yards, it seemed like, every week.
Different and, philosophy when he was in the game.
And we were losing, but the defense wasn't really playing as well as they are right now either. So I can't – we can't really – you know, we can't fault him. But, listen, I'll take the Tua numbers of 169 over the 300-yard passing days with – you know, Parker going over 100 and this guy having 80 yards and the win. I'll take the win any day of the week. And, you know, they're managing the game on offense. And the defense is like you mentioned earlier, the defense and the special teams are really putting us in really good positions. I mean, week in and week out, it seems like every single week.
You have to give Flores and his staff credit because they decided to make the quarterback change. And they're managing it appropriately. They're taking some of the pressure off the quarterback. They're getting a little more aggressive on defense. They're picking their spots. They're not, you know, they're not blitzing every play. And what they're doing is working because that early pressure that they're getting is getting in these quarterbacks' heads.
Yes.
And then it's just a matter of picking your spots and, you know, mixing it up.
And they are mixing it up, which is great. I mean, you know, we talk about Flores, but the defensive coordinator.
Boyer.
I mean, he's doing an outstanding job, Mike. I mean, this reminds you of a New England Patriot defense, doesn't it?
It is. I mean, it basically is.
I mean, it basically is. I mean, you've got the corner, the lockdown corners. You know, they went with basically the same type of philosophy. You know,
during the game last night, they said the Patriots run that zero coverage about 10% of the time.
Yep. And, you know, when you look at the Patriots and you look at their defense, you always felt that they had really, really solid corners over the years. You know, they made sure that they had solid cornerbacks. Sure. And then the rest of the team was built on guys just making a play here,
just blue collar guys,
there.
Yep.
Right. Different parts, different, you know, different schemes and different players on the field in those situations. And that's what's going on right now. I mean, you're watching it. And it's productive, and it's just a lot of fun to watch. I mean, every single week you turn it on and you're like, oh my God, look at this. They're doing it again. They start right off the bat and, you know, with plays early in games. And then late in games, they tend to make plays too. I mean, the interception by Howard, you know, we have to talk about that a little bit because the momentum was swinging a little bit in their direction at that point.
Right. You just felt kind of uneasy. You know, it was at that point in the game where you felt like anything goes wrong, we're in trouble.
Exactly. And they had the football, and they had an opportunity to, I think, pull ahead at that point. I think it was, what, 17-14?
17-14.
And, you can't say enough about that interception. I mean, you know, it was a big, big play for us, no question. And
Howard had something to say about it. He said it was a great call from the coaches, and he thought he made a great play on the ball. It changed the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
The offense ended up scoring. I just feel like I'm getting better. This team had 15 games forcing a turnover in a row, and Howard's a big reason why.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he's been healthy. Uh-huh. All the health concerns behind him, I think everybody's forgotten about. And, you know, listen, going forward, you know, while we're on the health situation, you know, it's key that we stay healthy. But let's throw in the fact, Mike.
I think we need to consider that Wilkins out yesterday hurt a little bit.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. No, You're fine. The fact that Wilkins was not on the field yesterday and they played as well as they did. I mean, they did beat us up a little bit in the middle of the field. You know, they were running the ball up the middle a lot with Bellage on that one drive, and it just seemed like he was getting 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, the middle was soft. The middle was soft.
But understandable, right?
You know, as I said to you at some point yesterday, you know, we lost Gotchell and then we lost Wilkins. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we're down to our third and fourth linemen, you know?
Yes.
So you expect there to be a drop-off.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we were concerned about that, you know, going into this game, the fact that we weren't going to have him. And, you know, it could have been a major, major issue, but they did a pretty solid job otherwise. You know, they took control of the game early. And, you know,
by jumping out to that big lead, the run wasn't something they were going to be able to stay with.
Exactly. It took them someone out of their game plan. You know, they kept trying to get back into the game, they kept chasing us the whole game. And, you know, you can't run. Bellage is not spectacular. We know that, you know, we're all very all Dolphin fans are very familiar with what he brings to the table. When you're chasing the whole game, it makes it very, very difficult to just sit there and run the ball and have him, you know, get 3-4 yards a carry
to win the football game. Miami's defense there, you're saying, okay, get your 3 or 4 yards, and by the time you get down the field, we're going to steal the ball from you.
Exactly. And, you know, we're going to hold you to a field goal or whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, the guys all across the board, you know, I felt are doing a good job. You know, all the guys in the secondary, the two safeties, the offensive line. We had a couple of, false starts yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, a few more than you'd like to see.
A couple more. But, you know, on the defensive side, I mean, you just don't see the stupidity that you have in years past. You know, just – I mean,
you know why nobody's trying to guess the snap count anymore? You know, they go when the ball is snapped.
Right. Yeah. I listen, I don't. That's probably one of many reasons, Mike. I don't know. But all I could tell you is that when you're watching clean football, it just makes it so much more enjoyable. I mean, I remember, you know, in years past, and I mean, you know, we keep talking about two decades, and that's pretty accurate. And, you know, you just go into your, you know, into your room wherever you're watching a football game, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, how are they going to shoot themselves in the foot today? And how many times are they going to shoot themselves in the foot today?
Right.
And you don't go, you know, of late, you know, I'm getting used to the fact that they're just not doing that type of stuff anymore. And it's just so much more enjoyable. You know, you're not frustrated.
Again, it's coaching. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. He prioritizes them not making mistakes, and you see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's, You know, I mean, Sanders, you know, we could talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, it was sad to see his streak stop. But, absolutely. You know, the announcers have to mention it every time the guy is seen on TV.
Jinx, right?
Yes. I mean, enough already with he's, you know, kicked so many in a row. Every time he came up to kick, they were mentioning it. It was irritating.
Yeah, he did bounce back in, what was it, a 50-yarder right after the miss?
Yes, which was great to see that they gave him another opportunity. You know, it just worked out that way because you don't want him carrying that with him. You want him over it, and he got over it because he had another opportunity right away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, he played, you know, he's continued. God, our punter's been fantastic as well. I mean,
two great kickers right now.
Special teams, you mentioned Grant's returns. I mean, every single time he touches the ball, you know, you're like, oh, wow.
He is so funny. He is so funny to watch because he's either dropping the ball and picking it up, or he's tripping over his own feet, or he's running 40 yards, you know? He's just real funny to watch. He's lightning in a bottle, you know. You never quite know what's going to happen when you open the bottle.
Yep, he's great. He's being productive as a receiver. You know, as I mentioned, our tight ends are doing a great job. I mean, you know, the touchdown pass to Smythe was great to see. What a great play call, huh?
Yes.
I mean, just outstanding.
Had everybody play going call. The other way. He was wide open.
Wide open. And you know what? The play before, Mike, I thought was a good play call as well, where they threw like the little screen to the running back on the ins, like in the slot, literally. Yes. It wasn't even on the outside. It was in the slot, basically, but the defender just made an outstanding play. Mm-hmm. What they did was they came back with another great call right behind that. I mean, fantastic play call. I mean, can't give them enough credit. I mean, I don't agree.
Now, I'm going to say this. He called me an hour earlier and said, damn it, I've had these play calls.
Conservative at times. My goodness. I mean, you know, it's like,
Now, when you call like that, I just let you rant because there's no reasoning with you. But I would have said to you, you know, he's playing a young quarterback. They're not going to be wide open. You know, they're going to pick their spots. And that's exactly what they've done. They pick their spots.
Yeah, second and 10, Mike, running the ball out of a straight, you know, base offense. I you know, you got to throw the ball 4 or 5 yards down the field. I mean, that's conservative.
Well, what you're hoping to do there, you know, is pick up 6 yards and put yourself in a manageable third down situation. But it doesn't always work out that way.
Right. Exactly. I mean, but my issue is that they show that. If you're going to show that you're running the ball, then play action and pass the ball. I mean, if you're in shotgun and, you know, you're showing pass and you want to run a draw, I can understand that. But, you know, I did some of the play calling. I just, you know, at times it's just frustrating.
Putting the year in a bucket, I think Gailey's done a phenomenal job.
He has. I mean, he's done.
There are spots you get a little annoyed, but I think by and large, he's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, overall, you know, we've got to be happy. I think that going forward, as we mentioned with the schedule, he's going to have to come up with some wrinkles because we're going to need to score some points in some of these football games. There's no question about it. No question.
Well, look, we're not as good as Kansas City. Now, whether we get lucky that day and the ball bounces our way, who knows, you know, but you know, we're that's uncharted waters right now for this team. We'll see what happens when we get there. Mm-hmm. But you know, they played the Chargers tough, they played the Cardinals tough, they played the Rams tough, and you know, the 49ers tough.
Like, they haven't played anybody not tough this year. I mean, they've played every single game this year, whether win or lose, you know, nip and tuck. And
other than maybe the first Patriot game, the very first game of the season, I just don't think they were ready for that game.
Yeah, I think if they got any kind of offense from that game, you know, it would have been different. They just made Newton just kill them, and that's basically all they did. But listen, the key to all of this is the fact that we've sat here for the last 30 minutes or so, and we've talked about so many different aspects of this football team, so many different players on this football team. It's not an individual. It's not Ricky Williams running for 200 yards and carrying
the offense. Throwing for 400 yards.
Right. It's team effort. When you have this type of football going on both sides of the football and so many key contributors week in and week out, that's when you become a dangerous football team, because you don't, as a team that's preparing for us, you just don't know where it's coming from. I mean, yeah, you can double up on Ogbah, but we're going to blitz you.
That's what they did yesterday, and he still had a sack.
Absolutely.
And that's, again, where Wilkins' loss hurts you, because if Wilkins there, he's probably the guy getting doubled.
Right. Or they double team both of them, or they keep a running back in to help Chip, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you're taking somebody out of coverage.
Out of the picture, right? Somebody who's not free. And, that's the great thing about football and understanding it, is the fact that when teams have to counter with different elements, it takes away from how much they can actually do as an offense attacking your defense. And that's what we're beginning to see, to where, they may be sending their two receivers downfield and keeping guys in for mass protection. And, we're doing a great job all over the place. We're outnumbering them when we're blitzing. They don't have enough guys if they're going to double team guys. I mean, that's what you have to look at and you have to understand. And, it's great to watch. And the fact that, next year we've got four draft picks early. We've got two first rounders and two second rounders. I mean, I think it's going to get even better than this.
Well, hopefully, if they pick the right people.
Yep.
that all falls in Greer's lap. It's up to him to, grab guys that are either going to develop or are ready to play now.
Mm-hmm. Couple of holes left here.
Yes, there is. We'll talk about that as we go forward. Yep. But I want to talk a little bit about Tua yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He became the first rookie quarterback in our history to win his first three starts. Kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
He's the first quarterback in Dolphin history not to throw an interception in his first three starts. And he joins Carson Wentz as the only quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era to accomplish that.
That's great. He should have had one yesterday, Mike.
He should have had two, actually.
not to cut you off, but, while we're on it real quick, touch on it.
Yeah, you're going to talk about the one that went through the linebacker's hands, and I'm going to talk about the one that bounced up in the air that nobody was able to come down with.
Yeah. Now, that one that went through his hands, I was like, how in the hell did that happen? I mean, it went literally right through
his hand. It's like the ball shrunk.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh my God. I mean,
was a Brady football.
I think Tua does a lot of praying. He's somewhat a religious fella. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, his prayers, helped him quite a bit on that one, because God had something to do with that guy not catching that pass, that throw. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, I believe the shul is looking down on the Dolphins and helping them out. So that's my theory.
All right. I like that.
Now, getting back to Tua, he had five touchdown passes with no picks in his three starts. He's produced a passer rating over 100 in each of the last two games, 122.3 against Arizona and 106.9 against the Chargers. He has five touchdown passes, which I mentioned. Now, those have gone to five different receivers: Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, Mac Hollins, that's Jim's guy, Jakeem Grant, and Durham Smythe. The Dolphins started 1-3. They're now 6-3. That's their best start since 2001. And obviously, they've won five in a row.
20 years, Mike. We talk about 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, we watched Tua after the bad snap run 44 yards after Nick Vigil and try and steal the ball from him. Well, he wasn't successful in stealing the ball, but he did tackle him.
Yeah, that was that. And, my son called me yesterday and he was like, oh, God, he's like, please don't hurt yourself trying to tackle this
guy. Yeah, it makes you a little nervous, right?
Makes
you don't
you
want
nervous.
Nobody falling on him,
Not on a stupid play like that, Yeah. I mean, but that was – that was brutal, but go ahead.
Now, listen, you and I were both very high on the way Fitz was playing, but I got to give Flores credit for making the switch. Listen to this. Since taking over, Tua is 8 of 10 in red zone possessions, as well as 4 of 6 on third downs in those possessions with 4 touchdowns. Fitz was 8 of 15 and 1 of 6 with a TD and interception on third down in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the performance there is not comparable.
No, it's not. No, there's no way. I mean, listen, the fact that they were playing well at the time, you know, that was my number one concern. But I said it over and over again, Mike, and you just mentioned Flores. I didn't agree with it, but I had the confidence in the fact that he knew what he was doing because, right. You know, listen, we said
that at the time.
Right. We comment on things. We throw our opinions out there. And, you know, I mean, I'm never going to back down from an opinion. You know, I felt that, you know, the team was rolling along and the offense was, to a point, very crisp, other than the statistic you just mentioned, the fact that we kept kicking field goals in the red zone.
He was getting them in the red zone.
He was getting them up and down the field. Right. I mean, and the offense looked like they were a machine, you know, and the offense doesn't necessarily look as crisp right now, but when they're in the red zone, they're scoring points, and that's all that matters. But, you know, getting back to Flores, you know, the comment I made was that, plain and simple, we have to trust in him. We don't see what's going on in practice week in and week out. So if he feels he's ready, then we have no choice but to believe in him. And I'll tell you what, everything that he's done up to this point has been on the positive side. So. Yeah. We're just going to keep rolling with them. It's that simple.
I got some more notes here I want to read real quick. They did not allow a sack for the first time since October 2018 against the Bears. Think about that.
Wow. Yeah.
They reached 21 points for their eighth consecutive game. That's their longest streak since 2001-2002. Again, a couple of decades.
Wow.
The Dolphins have scored at least 17 points in the first half in each of their past five games, their longest streak since at least 2000. Now, last night, Baltimore wasn't able to create a turnover against New England, and the Dolphins now have the NFL's longest streak of games with one takeaway at 16. Cornerback Nick Needham, who dropped Herbert for a 13-yard loss in the first quarter, became the 10th different Dolphin to register a sack this season.
That's what we talked about, right?
That's
exactly
what we talked about, yeah. Right. With Williams being placed on injured reserve with a foot injury he suffered against Arizona last week, Grant stepped up. I mean, he only caught four passes for 43 yards, but they were all key to sustaining drives. And he was fighting for extra yards on third down to keep Miami driving the ball. Also, he continuously put Miami in great field position returning punts with 57 return yards. And he said, as he always says, I'm a receiver before a returner, and my number was called today. I went out there and showed everyone that I'm not just a return man. I'm a receiver, too. I'm the total package. I'm not going to argue with him. I think he is the total package.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying he's the number one or number two receiver because I don't believe that because of his size. I just think there's limitations there.
He's playing well. Welker wasn't a big guy either, and Welker, you know, caught the ball.
Yeah, but I think
10,
he's smaller than Welker.
He might be, but not by. The point is this: is that given the opportunity, he's being productive. And again, you know, I want to see him targeted more. We're going to need him. I mean, you know, Williams isn't going to be around for a few more weeks, so he's going to have to step up, and he did. Yesterday, he was our leading receiver. I mean, he only had 43 yards, but he made some big plays.
He
had the big touchdown after Parker, you know, was called out of bounds. And let's go back to a few of the things you mentioned in regard to the sacks, okay? Uh-huh. You know, it wasn't long ago to where our offensive line was just pathetic. I mean, you can't throw away the fact that Fitzpatrick was running for his life half the time last year, okay? Then this is just a year ago with this offensive line. I mean, any other quarterback would have been sacked 10 times a game if Fitzpatrick was still getting sacked a decent amount of times last year. So we're not that far removed from what we saw just a year ago, okay? Now, point number two that you brought up just a few minutes ago, the amount of points being scored. When Tannehill was here a couple of years back, we would go in the halftime with 6 points on the board, 2 field goals at halftime. The fact that we're scoring 17 points and putting the amount of points up on the board week in and week out, we're not that far removed from that either. So You know, listen, I have a very good memory, and I know you do too. And, you know, the fact that you're bringing up these type of points is a great thing, because people can't forget about how frustrating this team was to watch as recent as last year. You know, the sacks were just a constant issue, the pressure on our quarterbacks.
The first seven games last year were atrocious.
Oh, absolutely horrible. And again, you know, going back to, you know, we take away last year, you know, and go back just 2 years ago, and the amount of points that we were scoring. I mean, our defense was just keeping us in football games. And, you know, we'd go in the half losing 14-6 or, you know, 10-6 or 7-6. I mean, it was a constant thing week in and week out. So, you know, the fact that, you know, we're doing things completely different just tells you that this team is nowhere near where they were a year ago. And they're far, far removed from what they were 2 years ago. So, again, all the credit to the coaching staff. You know, the players, you know, they've done a fantastic job, but it just starts with the preparation and the coaching and the philosophies and the schemes. And from there, you know, the players have to execute, and to their credit, they have.
Lewis, our starting position yesterday average was our own 46. The Chargers began on average at their own 23.
Outstanding.
Now, that tells you an awful lot about the special teams and the punter and Grant's returns and all of that, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that you see it visibly there.
Yep, big difference. And, you know, Mike, the defense gets the other team off the field late in games as well, too. That's another thing that we just didn't do a very good job of
yep.
in years past. You know, they've come up with some big stops and getting the ball back to our offense at times. You know, and as you're watching games, and I only watch it once, you know, I don't go back and watch game film or anything after, you know, after the fact. But I think if we go back week in and week out, you know, we're going to realize that the defense has just come up with some really big stops in the second half of football games that have allowed us to win some of these games. So
I don't know. They're playing incredible football. I mean, you know, they are dominating other teams, and it may not necessarily say that on the scoreboard, mm-hmm. but they are. I mean, you watched that game yesterday and you were relatively comfortable for most of it, you know?
Yes.
And that's what you want to see. You want to see a team that goes out there and battles and gets in a position to win a game in the fourth quarter. And that's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm pretty happy. I mean, that win yesterday meant a lot to me because, I thought that was a team that was going to give them problems, and it was the other way around. I mean, they gave the Chargers the problems. So
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty encouraged. I mean, you know, I think we can beat Denver. In Denver, mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk about it more Wednesday, I'm sure. But I'm looking forward to that game, and I think this streak can continue for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Tua,
and they're Austin. Grooming this quarterback at the same time. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you know. It's so great. You look at the draft picks this year, Mike, and the guys that have already contributed. You know, you got Tua, you got yeah. Austin Jackson,
yeah.
you've got Raekwon Davis, Brandon mm-hmm. Jones, Kinley, as you mentioned right. earlier, Malcolm Perry. He actually,
I mentioned that Kinley had a good game yesterday, but Jackson did not. But yeah. you know, he didn't get the quarterback killed, so you know right. he's learning as he goes.
No sacks, and you know he started from day one. He's going to learn. But my point is that these are guys, and Malcolm Perry as well. You know, uh-huh. these are yep. all guys that came out of. This year's draft, and they're making plays. They're getting playing time. I mean, it's good. It's fun to watch.
Yep. Yep. They're getting return on their investments. Mm-hmm. That's how I like to look at it.
Yep.
You know, because that's really what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday, we'll come back with Jim, and we'll talk about the Broncos.
All righty.
Are there any other takeaways that you took out of yesterday's game you want to get off your chest before we close the show?
No, I think we're good. We covered just about all the players and the coaching over and over again. And
we did. It's such a good feeling, you know. It's just such mm-hmm. a good feeling to turn on the football, you know, on Sunday, and you're starting to feel like we have a chance to win.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
It's a good feeling.
Absolutely. A couple more wins and you know, we're going to be right in position, right where we want to be going into December. So, yeah. All right.
And I don't want to get too far ahead, you know, Lewis, because this team may not be ready for that, but we'll see. We'll see.
You look around the NFL, Mike, and week in and week out, it doesn't look like half.
Anybody's ready.
Probably 75% of the teams are ready.
The Bills looked ready yesterday until they didn't.
Well, there you go. I mean, the W's, you know, the W's are all that matters. And, you know, we keep getting them. And people keep saying, well, how in the hell? Uh-huh. You know, the Rams come back. They win a big game yesterday. I mean, all these teams that we beat, they come right back. And they basically
play better football.
They play better football against other teams. So, you know, the Cardinals are a perfect example. We beat them last week. And the Bills were in the same position yesterday. And
they
lost.
What an incredible finish in that game. That Cardinals game. That was just a phenomenal catch. It was a phenomenal throw.
Yep.
Great football right there.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, Lewis.
All right. See you on Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Lewis, for joining me this afternoon.
Very welcome.
And fins up, everybody.
Fins up, Dolphins. On to Denver we go.
All right, so that's our show for this week. I just want to remind everyone that the FinFans podcast is part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.